Welcome back. You are listening to Implement and Manage Storage, the Storage Administration and Architecture track for the Azure Administrator Certification, the AZ-104. This is episode 6 of 13, and it is called Authorization Foundations, Access Keys, and Shared Access Signatures. In the last few episodes, we worked through the anatomy of a storage account, the data plane, and the tools you use to move data, like ASCOPY and Storage Explorer. Now we shift from how you reach your data to a deeper question, who is allowed to reach it, and how Azure decides yes or no on every single request. So put your feet on autopilot and let us think about authorization. Here is the first mental model to carry. Azure Storage has two separate permission surfaces, and people mix them up all the time. There is the control plane, which is about managing the account resource itself, like creating it, deleting it, or changing its configuration. That plane is governed by Azure Role-Based Access Control, RBAC, on the Management API. And then there is the data plane, which is about reading and writing the actual contents, your blobs, files, queues, and tables. This episode lives entirely in the data plane. Keep those two apart. Control plane manages the account. Data plane touches the data inside it. Now here is the key idea about the data plane. Every request to a secure resource arriving over HTTP or HTTPS must be authorized. By default, nothing is anonymous. Azure will not just hand out your data because someone asked nicely. So how can a data request be authorized? There are exactly four ways, and a little mnemonic will help you remember them while you walk. The word is ESSA. E for Microsoft Entra ID, the identity-based method. S for shared key, the account access key. S again for shared access signature, assigned URL. And A for anonymous public read, which only blobs support. The order of the letters is also the order of preference. Entra first, anonymous dead last. Let us make that concrete. Microsoft Entra ID, combined with managed identities and Azure RBAC, is the Microsoft-recommended method everywhere it is supported. Why? Because no secret is ever stored in your code. The identity proves who it is, and a role assignment says what it may do. We dig into Entra role assignments in Episode 7, and the network rules that gate access in Episode 8. For now, hold the thought. Entra is the gold standard. A quick word on which method works for which service. Entra ID, shared key, and all the signature types work across blobs, files, queues, and tables. Entra ID for Azure files over the SMB protocol is a special case that leans on domain services or Kerberos, and we cover that in Episode 9. Anonymous read is the odd one out. It works only for blobs. And one currency note worth tucking away. Older study material claims the user delegation signature is blob only. The current Azure documentation says it is supported for blobs, queues, tables, and Azure files. Either way, it stays the recommended signature type, and you will hear why shortly. So let us talk about those account access keys, because they are the master credentials. When you create a storage account, Azure generates two 512-bit keys, called Key 1 and Key 2. Each key does two jobs. It authorizes shared key requests against the account, and it can sign service and account signatures. Here is the scary part. A key grants full access to all data in the account. There is no granularity, no per-container scope, and no auditing of who used it. Anyone holding a key effectively is the storage account. Think of it like the master key to an entire building. It opens every door, and the lock never records who walked in. You will often see a key wrapped inside a connection string, which bundles the account name, a key, and the endpoints into one tidy string your app can consume. To view the keys, your identity needs the list keys action, which is included in the built-in roles owner, contributor, and the more narrowly scoped storage account key operator service role. In practice, you would run the as storage account keys list command, or in PowerShell, the get as storage account key command, to retrieve them. Now, here is a question students always ask. Why two keys? The answer is zero downtime rotation. The two keys exist so you can change your credentials without an outage, and the technique is a leapfrog. Normally, all your apps use key one. Step 1, you switch every app over to Key 2. Step 2, now that nothing depends on Key 1, you regenerate Key 1 to a fresh value. Step 3, you switch your apps back to that new Key 1. Step 4, you regenerate Key 2. Now both keys are fresh and nobody ever lost access. You would do the regeneration with the AZ Storage Account Keys Renew command, or the new AZ Storage Account Key command, once for each key. The golden rule of this leapfrog is simple. Use only one key across all your apps at any given time. If some apps run on Key 1 and others on Key 2, you are stuck. You can never regenerate either one without breaking something, so the two keys are for rotation, not for splitting your traffic. Now here is a critical side effect of rotation, and the exam loves it. When you regenerate a key, you immediately revoke every service signature and every account signature that was signed with that key. Those signed URLs just stop working, and you must reissue them. But, and this is the punchline, user delegation signatures are not affected because they are signed by Entra, not by your account key. That is one more reason to prefer them. How do you protect these powerful keys? A few practices. Store keys in Azure Key Vault for centralized secret management. Better yet, prefer Entra ID and managed identities, so there is no secret in your code at all. You can set a key expiration policy, which sets a rotation reminder measured in days. Be careful here, it does not auto-rotate the key, it simply flags keys that are overdue. You can audit compliance with a built-in Azure policy named, roughly, storage account keys should not be expired. And the strongest control of all, you can disallow shared key authorization on the account entirely. When you do that, clients must use Entra ID or a user delegation signature. Service and account signatures, which are key signed, stop working too. That is Microsoft's recommended hardening step. One small gotcha. On older accounts, you may need to rotate each key once before you can set a key expiration policy, because the original creation time was never recorded. So now to shared access signatures themselves, the SAS. A signature is a signed URL that grants limited, delegated access. It answers three questions. What resources? What permissions? And for how long? The beauty of it is that a client can talk to storage directly, with no front-end proxy sitting in the data path while you still control the grant. Think of it as a time-stamped, single-purpose visitor badge instead of a master key. There are three types and another mnemonic, the word USA. U for user delegation signature, S for service signature, A for account signature. The user delegation signature is the preferred one. It is secured by a user delegation key that you obtain using Entra credentials, so no account key ever touches your code. Creating it requires a specific RBAC action, the Generate User Delegation Key action on the blob service. It has a hard maximum lifetime of 7 days, tied to that delegation key. The service signature delegates access to one resource in one service, and it has a special trick. It can be tied to a stored access policy, which we will get to. The account signature is the broadest and most powerful. It can span multiple services and can perform service-level operations that the others cannot, like creating or deleting containers. Most powerful, and therefore most dangerous if it leaks. As for how each is authorized, the user delegation signature is authorized via Microsoft Entra ID, while the service and account signatures are both authorized via shared key. When a request arrives carrying a signature, Azure validates the signature and its parameters. If everything checks out, the request goes through. If it is invalid or expired, Azure returns HTTP 403 forbidden. Here is a sobering security reality. Signature generation cannot be audited. Anyone with the account key or the right Entra role can mint a signature silently. Signatures are created on the client side. Azure never tracks them, and there is no API to count or list them. That single fact is the core argument for disallowing shared key and preferring Entra-signed user delegation signatures, because at least those are tied to an identity. Let us open up a signature and look at its anatomy, spoken aloud rather than read literally. A signature is just a query string appended to the resource address after the question mark delimiter. Imagine the address of a blob, your account name, then .blob.core.windows.net, then the container and file name. After the question mark come a series of short fields. The signed permissions field, written SP, says what you can do. For example, R for read, W for write, D for delete, L for list. Best practice, least privilege, read only whenever you can. The signed start field, ST, says when the signature becomes valid. The signed expiry field, SE, says when it stops working, and you want that short and near term. The signed resource field, SR, names the resource type, like B for blob or C for container. The signed IP field, SIP, restricts callers to a known address or range. The signed protocol field, SPR, should be HTTPS only to prevent interception. The signed version field, SV, names the storage API version. And finally, the signature itself, SIG, a cryptographic hash of all those fields signed by the key. That is the actual proof, and you must never let it travel over plain HTTP. While we are here, remember ClockSQ. Machines can disagree on the time by up to about 15 minutes. So a good habit is to either leave the start time unset or set it about 15 minutes in the past and never make the expiry so tight that an early arriving client fails. Now, what if you handed out a signature and you need to kill it before it expires? This is where stored access policies come in. An ad hoc signature bakes the start, expiry, and permissions right into the URL. Once issued, the only way to revoke it early is to regenerate the account key, which is the nuclear option, because it kills every key signed signature at once. A stored access policy instead moves those constraints onto the resource, onto a container, file share, queue, or table. A service signature can then reference that policy by name and inherit its settings. The payoff is huge. To revoke, you simply delete or rename the policy, and every signature bound to it dies instantly, with no key rotation. It is also central management, change permissions, or expiry in one place for many signatures. Two limits to remember. You can have a maximum of 5 stored access policies per container, or share, or queue, or table. And only service signatures can use them. User delegation and account signatures are always ad hoc. A common pattern is to set the policy expiry far in the future and treat the policy's mere existence as the on-off switch. Delete it, and access stops. There is a second separate control, the signature expiration policy. Do not confuse it with the stored access policy. This one is an account-level setting that defines a recommended maximum lifetime for any signature minted on the account, written as days, then hours, minutes, and seconds. The validity is computed as the expiry minus the start, and once this policy is in effect, the signed start field becomes required on every signature. The policy has 2 actions. The default is log, where an out-of-policy signature still works, but an entry is written to your logs for auditing. The stricter action is block, where an out-of-policy signature is simply denied. The usual journey is log first to discover what is out there, then block to enforce. You would set the maximum lifetime with the AZ storage account update command and its SAS expiration option. A few gotchas. Block does not apply to a service signature that uses a stored access policy. A user delegation signature still caps at 7 days, no matter what the policy says. And watch out. Azure File Sync needs at least a 3-day signature, so do not set the cap below 3 days, or your sync will break, which matters in episode 13. So, the things to carry with you on your walk. Remember SSA, the 4 data authorization methods? Entra, shared key, signature, and anonymous. With Entra first and anonymous last. 2 keys exist for 0 downtime rotation, leapfrog between them, and use 1 key everywhere at a time. The account key is full access with no audit, and regenerating it kills all key signed signatures, while user delegation signatures survive. Remember USA, the 3 signature types. User delegation, which is Entra signed and preferred with a 7-day cap, service, which is key signed and single service and can use a stored policy, and account, which is key signed, multi-service, and the most powerful. A stored access policy gives you server-side revocation without key rotation, 5 per container, service signatures only. And the signature expiration policy caps lifetime at the account level, with log to warn and block to enforce. Next time, in episode 7, we move to the recommended path itself, Microsoft Entra ID, role-based access control, and how to safely handle anonymous public read. I will see you on your next walk.